This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast with your host, Mac. And this is episode 115. This is a special cultural episode, kind of where I reflect on what it's like living in Japan, the good, the bad, and some tips on what it's like to live here based on the 8 or so years I've lived in Japan. And I do one of these once a month, and the other podcast once a month is about studying for the JLPT. But this is a final episode. I originally had two episodes before this about things I wish I had known, the top 10 things I wish I had known before I came to Japan. And of course, through that process, writing some things up and thinking about it a little bit more, I've managed to come up with five more. So this is kind of a bonus, five things I wish I had known before I came to Japan. One thing is, when you first come to Japan, depending on how you come, with the JET program or with English, some kind of English conversation school, or if you're coming over as an engineer or something involved with trade, import, export, or whatnot, you'll probably come over in a group usually. A lot of the schools and things, you'll come over in a recruitment group. And you'll end up, of course, going out, having drinks. That's a very big part of Japanese culture. And one thing is, one problem with that is that everything, well, the big cities, in the big cities, you get home by train. Out in the countryside, it's a little bit different deal. Of course, you can ride your bike or someone can give you a ride home. But in the big cities, Osaka, Tokyo, Nagoya, you're going to have to take the train home. And unfortunately, the train stops at midnight, which is not a real ideal time. It's kind of like just when the party seems to get going and you feel like you can go all night. And then, you know, last train comes around and you have to make that kind of do or die decision. Well, do I stay out all night until first train, which is usually around 5 or 6 in the morning? Or do I just call it a night and go home at midnight? Usually, you should probably take last train because staying out all night can sometimes be fun. But it usually ends up around 2 or 3 in the morning. You kind of hit a wall, your energy drains out, and you really can't keep going anymore. One thing that took me a while to actually realize is that if that does happen, it's obviously not a very good idea to sleep on the street, although you'd probably be fairly safe if you're a guy. You should probably, you know, get inside somewhere. And usually around the stations, there's all-night internet cafes, 24-hour internet cafes, and they'll have a special night pack. So what you can do is, for usually around a fairly cheap price, somewhere around 1,500 yen or so, you can, I think starting around midnight, you can basically spend the night. It's like around 8 hours, I think, until 8 in the morning or so. You can stay the night in the internet cafe. And they'll usually give you, depends on the place, really, and how nice the internet cafe is. But a lot of times they'll give you a fairly decent chair to pass out in, or you can check your email or, you know, watch YouTube videos or something while you're waiting for the time to pass. Or a lot of them have online games already installed on them, so you can play online games all night, or You can just keep drinking Coke because they usually have unlimited drinks as well. So you could just keep drinking unlimited coffee and keep yourself awake and catch up on your blog reading or whatnot. But those have been kind of a lifesaver when, you know, here and there when I've missed the last train or I've thought foolishly like I can stay out all night and I ended up not being able to stay up all night and had to crash in an internet cafe. So keep those in mind if you're out and about. Another thing to be aware of, and something that someone told me when I first arrived in Japan, is that, of course, Japan is a very safe country. Generally, overall, there's not a lot of theft that takes place. One story that comes to mind is Aichi Expo, the World Expo, came to Japan. I don't know when it was, 2005 or so. It was about 6 or 7 years ago in the Nagoya area. And during that whole time, I think the World Expo was something like 7 or 8 months long, had probably well over 1 million visitors. And during that time, I think there was only about 4 or 5 wallets reported stolen. And they said even of that, some of those might have been misplaced. And it was kind of a big news story that Japan is a very safe country. There's not a lot of pickpocketing going on. And so you can be relatively safe when you're out and about and you have a lot of cash on you. And that's generally true. But nothing gets stolen in Japan except for two things. Bikes and umbrellas. Umbrellas, that probably kind of makes sense. I mean, if you're in a place, if people are, you know, find themselves in a department store or something and they don't have an umbrella with them and they go to leave and there's some umbrellas there and it's pouring down rain, there's a very big temptation to nab someone's umbrella and walk out instead of getting soaked if they can't easily buy an umbrella. So in Japan, you'll see umbrella stands when you walk into a department store or even a convenience store. If you're only going to be there for a few minutes, it's probably okay to stick it in there. Or if you have a really cheap umbrella, it's probably okay to stick it in there because no one will probably steal it. But if you have a fairly nice umbrella, something sturdy, something that you've actually spent more than 500 yen on, you'll probably want to keep it with you when you're walking through the store, because if it's really raining hard, someone will probably take it. I've had a few umbrellas taken, a few umbrellas I've forgotten. So it kind of ends up being a bit of an exchange. For example, at my local station here, there's an umbrella stand where, you know, it's kind of a take one or leave one or kind of situation where, you know, if you have an old umbrella, you just drop it off there. And then when it's raining, everyone steals an umbrella out of that. It's just kind of a community umbrella stand. And it's kind of that way. You'll get your umbrella stolen, and occasionally you might have to nab a cheapy umbrella here and there to get through the day. I've tried to always return the ones that I've borrowed, but in general, it's kind of an exchange thing. The other thing is bikes, bicycles. If you kind of leave your bike unlocked in a place, there's a lot of times bikes get stolen. If you lock it up, it's usually okay. But some people will, you know, absentmindedly just park their bike, run into a store or whatever, and come back and their bike is gone. I've heard that this is a lot of times due to at night, drunk businessmen. They want to get home right away, and they steal bikes, and so it usually happens a lot at night. I haven't really had a bike stolen from me, but I know a few other people that have had their bike stolen. Usually they're just kind of cheapy hand-me-down bikes that they got from somebody else that was leaving Japan or whatnot, so it wasn't really that big of a deal. But if you do have a bike, be sure to lock it up. Be sure to make sure it has some kind of, even the cheapest kind of lock on it, to keep your bike from running away from you. Another thing that is important is to take care of yourself if you're living in Japan. I've heard a lot of people talk about this, even somebody ranting on YouTube the other day about how Japan was out to kill them, but I don't really think it's like that. I think more when you come to a foreign country, any kind of foreign country, there's certain viruses and or whatnot, cold strains or different types of flu that are common in that particular country that you are not used to fighting off. And on top of that, you're pretty stressed out living in a new country and learning new things and trying to, you know, communicate with the locals, so to speak, that it's very easy to get sick. It's very easy to get the flu. It's very easy to come down with a nasty cold because you might be getting a little stressed out. So it's important to take care of yourself, especially in the big cities. Wash your hands. There's a kind of a Japanese custom, so to speak, that as soon as you get home, you wash your hands and you gargle with some kind of type of gargling, whatever it is, Listerine. Or whatever to clear out your throat, some kind of mouthwash to kill any kind of viruses. And that's a general thing. And just eat right and take care of yourself, because it's very easy to get sick and you want to enjoy yourself here and not get all stressed out if you are moving to Japan. So I've personally gotten the flu twice here in Japan, and I never got the flu back in the States. I've gotten hasn't gotten that bad because I guess I've gotten used to living here, but before I'd almost always get a cold like twice a year. Just constantly getting cold. So take care of yourself. Another thing, when I first came to Japan that took me a while to realize is that AV, the letters AV, don't always stand for audiovisual, as in electronics equipment. I thought that I used to see these stores that I couldn't quite see into and had lots of kanji everywhere, and the only English letters that I could recognize were AV. And I always used to think, well, maybe that's an electronics store, but it's kind of weird electronics store because all the windows are covered up and I can't really see inside. So that's a bit strange, you know. Usually electronics store would have advertisements and big display windows or whatnot. So if you haven't guessed, AV actually stands for adult video in some situations. It does actually stand for audiovisual too. You'll see it on electronics, some signs for electronic stores, but AV will usually mean adult video. So usually if you see a store that you can't see into, there's like foggy windows or things are kind of covered up, and there's AV and there's a bunch of kanji and maybe DVD or Blu-ray, you'll see in English letters and a bunch of kanji. Chances are pretty good that that's adult video store. And they're usually not in a very mainstream place, but they might be a few steps off or a few blocks off the mainstream, you'll maybe come across one every once in a while. If you go to, in Osaka, you go to Denden Town, which is the electronics store district, much like Akihabara in Tokyo. You'll see a lot there as well. Just to be aware, that's what those are. And so you don't go wandering into one, wondering what's going on. And the last thing I would like to leave you with is that you should, if you want to live in Japan and you want to be happy in Japan, and you want to spend a good time here, enjoy living in Japan and living a long time, leave any preconceptions at the door. Even if you've studied Japanese for a considerable length of time, even if you have tons of Japanese friends in your home country, even if you have all those things and you feel like you have a really good idea of what Japan is like, chances are pretty good that you'll still be surprised by what you see and what just the things that come up while you're here. And so I've seen a lot of people come to Japan and they have these really strong preconceptions of what Japan is like. Positive things, of course. They have a positive view of Japan, of how this is Japan, people are like this, everything's really clean, everything's runs on time, and this is kind of how Japanese people are. Positive things, not negative things, but it still kind of hurts your experience, because there's a lot of things that you will miss out, and a lot of those people that have these really strong preconceptions end up throwing in the towel and going back to their home country, usually within a year, sometimes even within 4 or 5 months of moving here. So it's important to just keep an open mind. There's a lot of things that'll happen, and chances are pretty good that your idea of what Japan is, if you don't live here, if you haven't had the chance to visit here, it's probably completely different to the actual experience that you'll have when you come here. And that's why I encourage, if you really like Japanese, if you are studying for the higher levels, N2, even N3, it is really important to come visit and understand for yourself firsthand what the culture is like. So, all right, I'll leave you with that, those five bonus things, and that is it from me this week. I hope you have a great week studying. You can comment on this blog post. This is podcast episode number 115. You can comment on that on the blog, or you can of course email me at mac@jlptbootcamp.com, or you can stop by the website jlptbootcamp.com and click on the contact me button. I'd love to hear from you any of those three ways. Until next time, until next week, have a happy week studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.